honored to be asked just to share a few words. And I want to start with a piece of modern poetry. Unfortunately, there is no attribution. God saw her getting tired and that a cure was not meant to be. So God put God's arm around her and whispered, "Come with me." With tearful eyes, we watched her suffer and all too slowly fade away. Although we loved her dearly, we could not ask her to stay. A loving heart stopped beating. Hard-working, busy hands are now at rest. It breaks our hearts to say goodbye, but in knowing her, we are blessed. And I want to share one story with you this morning. And I was going to visit Pearl when she moved to Klein-Gallen. I entered the room, as I often do, not knowing her, not knowing how she was feeling, not knowing her mental state, and so introducing myself as I walked in the door and asked if I might sit with her for a few minutes. While I was moving a chair closer to her bed, not only did she remember me, but she asked after my daughter, Evelyn. Most times I can't remember my daughter's name. So for her to be able to do so at this time spoke volumes about who she was as an individual. We shared many thoughts together on that day, and she shared with me that she had no regrets, that she lived a full life, that she lived life on her terms as she had wished, that she had certainty in the next generation to carry after her, and that she was at peace, and that she was ready. I saw in that interaction, that empathy, that care for others, that was with her even to her final moments, and I saw what I suspect family and friends have known all along, though somewhat diminutive in stature. Pearl was never small. She was simply concentrated.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you all for coming. My mother would have loved it that you all came to remember her. Thank you, Rabbi Barry and Rabbi Meyer, for being with us today. Rabbi Barron, you made us feel very special by coming to the house to visit. You were very kind, bringing us very children. To Rabbi Meyer, my mother so enjoyed your services at the summit. She never really attended in her early years other than on Yom Kippur. And growing up, I didn't know you should have attended Rosh Hashanah services. I just knew I could stay home from school for 2 days. I know it gave her great comfort to have your visits at the Klein. Also for checking in with us to see if we were doing, how we were doing. Al and I, Bob and Marlene, really appreciate your support. A special thank you to the caregivers for taking such good care of my mom in her later years and her final days. At the Klein, she asked one of her male nurses to give her a kiss. And he did. My mom was born in 1924 to Joseph and Rebecca Castroiano. She was a real surprise to her parents. My grandmother was 45. She had two sisters, Sarah and Tessie, and a brother, Sam. My grandmother was not a well woman. She died in 1937 from gallbladder surgery. She was only 57. My mother was only 12 years old. Her sisters were already married. She cooked and cleaned for her father until he remarried. At that time, she was 16. She didn't get along with his new wife. She wanted to move out with her girlfriend, and Tessie would have none of it. She lived with Tessie and Sarah and their husbands. My mom lived in the basement. Tessie had a big house. The sisters were 11 and 12 years older. In high school, my mom was in choir. She loved singing opera. She would have gone to New York to study, but who had money for that? Her father used to package salads for the public market. My mother graduated from Garfield early and worked for Grayson's department store. Well, when my mom was 20, she went to a UFO dance. There she met my dad. He cut in on her dance, and the rest is history. In fact, my father wanted to marry her on the second date. My mother thought he was out of his mind. 6 months later, they were married. Tessie was the matchmaker. As a wedding present, Gracie gave her appliances that were hard to get during the war. In the mid-1950s, my mom worked at Frederick & Nelson, staying for 20 years in men's sportswear. She was an excellent sales lady, and she was also good at spotting shoplifters. The store would have loved to have her to be a store detective, but she was too chicken. She also filled in at times being a Spanish translator. My dad's closet was full of beautiful sweaters and shirts. She got the shirts for practically nothing because they had a slight spot on them and the store couldn't sell them. Too bad for Alan. He was too small and Frederick didn't have small sizes. When I was young, my mom was always playing Mario Lanza and Caruso records when cleaning house. Those were the famous opera singers. I knew all the operas in those days. In 1962, my parents went to Hawaii, minus kids, their first trip without us. When I got married, my mom scheduled my wedding around Hawaii. She's married in February. After the wedding, off they went. On this trip, they bought a condo at the Whaler. They went back for 24 winters and many cookie parties. My mother loved playing golf. She loved to tell you she was a volunteer at Kapalua Golf Course on Maui. Very fancy. For 2 years, her job on the course was to make sure a tunnel was clear for the golfers. Her favorite was Tiger Woods. He even waved to her. My father was a kind and thoughtful guy, always remembering her and others with flowers and candy. And he even wrote poems. He was a medic at picnics, and he would push your car with his if you got stuck somewhere. In the 1980s, my mom would have loved to have gone to Turkey, but my dad wasn't interested. For their 35th anniversary, my father surprised her with a trip to the Asian countries, China, Thailand, and Japan. It was a trip of a lifetime. One important person I must talk about is Sarah Pupil. My mother had lots of friends, but the dearest was Sarah. They knew each other for 70 years. Our families had many good times together. To Bonita Beach for 2 weeks, bringing bedding and pots and pans, then to Lake Chelan. Boy, that was really moving on up. Of course, many parties without us kids hanging around. Pearl loved picnics and parks, and my parents did a lot of free things together. One of the most favorite things was going to Alki, looking at the water and having fish and chips. By the way, Alan typed up this whole speech for me. I wrote it, but he had to rewrite it many times. But this I had to hide from him because I didn't want to see it. And a special shout out to Alan for picking up my mom almost every Sunday and getting her out for a bite to eat. And more Alki. Then ending with a drive somewhere, this broke up the monotony at the summit. This started after my dad passed away 20 years ago. What a match. One of the saddest times in my mom's life was when my dad had a stroke in Maui. That was in 1998. They had been married 52 years. My dad flown home and he passed weeks later. My mom only missed going to Maui 1 year. The following year, she picked herself up and back to Maui. It was hard at first, but returned for another 15 years. She made new and younger friends. Then at age 87, she moved to the summit. She made new and older friends. She even had a chance to have a few dates. She left the company in conversation, but that was the extent of it. She would say, "Janice, I'm not interested." One time, a widower friend that lived out of state left a message on her answering machine. The message was, "Good night, sweetheart. I know she loved listening to it, but no one could replace my dad." And thank you to Cousin Ralph. Where's Ralph? That's it. Okay. Thank you to Cousin Ralph for fixing Pearl's TVs over the years, but mostly for your emotional support. Just being there the day she came back from the doctor with the news of cancer. I called Ralph and he came right down. I was at a loss for words. In closing, I knew my mother was a devoted wife, and I also learned she had compassion. She had a lady at her dinner table at Summit who had ALS. Others left her table because of her deteriorating condition, but not my mom. She continued to eat at the table because she didn't want her to feel alone. Boy, I couldn't have done that. I want to thank everyone for bringing a special something for mom to eat. She loved Sephardic delicacies. The food at the Klein was not the best. And all your visits were special to my mom. Well, this past August, my mom turned 93. We had a little birthday party for there, and when she went to blow out the candles, she said, "Make a wish, too. You know what I wish for. I want to be with you." Aloha, Mom. Well, I'll miss you longer than forever.
Aloha all. Even though I'm not a biological daughter, Shirley's been my mom for 50 years. She's been wonderful, generous, and always treated me with love, and I've loved her right back. I'm blessed to have her in my life so long. I learned to cook a lot of her Sephardic dishes, like tzatzikis, garbanzos, red rice, lamb with tomatoes and onions, Passover and Hanukkah from Wellows, and especially our family's favorite, her Spanish cochada. She was the family matriarch, loved so much by her entire family. She was mom, grandma, and Auntie Curly, and always the life of the party. She's always been very independent and let us know it till the very end. She spoke her mind, and one of her favorite Spanish sayings, which I never have been able to say, loosely translates, "If you don't open your mouth, the flies can't get in." And I know there are a lot of you that could repeat what the Spanish is, but she, even though we are so sad to lose her, and we will all miss her dearly, we are all so grateful for the long, great life she enjoyed and our time to be with her. She's now back with her beloved Edward, for they will love each other longer than forever. Their spirits live on, and the memory is cherished always. Thank you.
Everybody, I'm taller. This is exciting. I'm taller than someone. Thank you for everyone's beautiful words. It's interesting that we all talk about some of the same things, have some of the same memories of her. It is hard for me to think about my grandma without thinking of her with my grandpa Ed. It has been 20 years since he passed and left our daily lives, but to spend time around Pearl was to feel his presence in her stories, memories, and photos. To her, their love was once in a lifetime, and our family was always reminded of him and his loving role as patriarch. Pearl was always one to look for fun and was ready with her one-of-a-kind laugh. But when my grandpa left her a widow, the brightest light of her heart dimmed. I noticed in the past year or so, she seems to be more at peace with herself. It's my belief that she knew she would finally be joining him again soon. The thought gave her much peace, and it gave her strength to face the reality that her own life would end soon. In fact, when I asked her, she said, "I'm ready to let my soul be released to join Edward. It has been 20 years. The image she shared with me is one that I will always treasure." She believed he would be waiting for her under the golden arches. I gently joked with her, "Perhaps the pearly gates? After all, they named them after you." My memories of my grandpa are fond ones. He was someone who would do anything for our friends, anything for his family. And he doted on my grandma. Their relationship is one I admire as a strong testament to love and marriage. And I like to think that my own 22 years of marriage have been inspired in part by their influence. Pearl was the matriarch of our family for all of my 46 years. She was the keeper of the Jewish holidays and the hostess of regular family dinners and gatherings. I attribute my own love of cooking and entertaining to her. She instilled me with a love of food, of creating a home and a table where family and friends find happiness and want to gather. She loved a party. I remember so many times as a young girl attending a wedding or a birthday or an anniversary party that was either thrown at the party room of my grandparents' apartment complex or by their seemingly endless array of friends. I recall having my cheeks pinched by her two sisters, Sarah and Tessie, and by any number of extended family members and friends. "Ijika," they would say. I used to hide by the end of the night so I would not have to be pinched into oblivion. And the cooking. The smells of baked fila dough, bulama dough, bereka dough, bizcocho dough all commingle in my memories of entering their apartment on Mercer Island. Onions, tomatoes, fava and green beans, and the oil from any variety of fried holiday foods. Fried smelts, fried tortillas, fried bromelos, drizzled with honey. Each a reminder of seasonal holiday table, no table complete without them. The questions of whether the rice pudding would be the whole grain rice or the rice powder to suit the different tastes of our family. Always it would be sprinkled with cinnamon. It would remain a source of slightly horrified wonder to me that my grandpa would top the tomato rice we loved so much with sweet jam. Kojado, signature zucchini, yaprakas. Why did the Greek restaurant call them dolmades? Whole poached salmon with lemon and eggs for Passover and sweet tomato sauce for Rosh Hashanah. Why did other tables have grayish blobs that smell like a gefilte fish made with pink horseradish? The ever-present relish trait to start. I have fond childhood memories of family dinners where each member adorned their fingertips with pitted black olives and waggled them at each other before popping them into our mouths. The end of every meal was signified with the passing of a tray of sweet sliced melon as we took our time before dessert. My grandma's love of Sephardic cooking infused me with a sense of the exotic and special. It began my love of experiencing cultures and traditions through food. It inspired me to try new cuisines and seek out new flavors. I love to cook across the cultures of the world today. Along with my love of cooking and entertaining, I got some of my grandma's spicy and tell it like it is spirit. I just can't seem to be any other way. Anyone who knew Pearl knew exactly what she thought about most everything. I also like to think that I have some of her zest for life and love of adventure. She was curious about the world and took great pleasure in new discoveries. From being one of the first to travel in what was then termed the Orient, again, just calling it the Asian country, but that's what I remember it being called, which was the 35th wedding anniversary gift from her similarly travel-loving Edward, to a cross-country road trip tour of the United States and vacations to Mexico and Hawaii, my parents were wonderful traveling companions. My grandma even found the courage to make a solo trip to Ireland and the UK to visit me and my husband Cody when we lived in Ireland. As Pearl would say, "I got around," and she loved every minute of it. She lived to see her three granddaughters become adults and came to know three great-grandchildren. That my 13-year-old daughter, Josie, knew great-grandma Pearl so well is one of my greatest family delights. She never met her great-grandpa Ed, who was one of my attacks. They would have absorbed one another. It is difficult for me to pick and choose between the many memories I have of my grandma Pearl. Mostly, they are all colorful, loving, fun, and spirited, just like her. When my grandma turned 90, I knew it would mark the number of years I had left with her askew. I was prepared for her to leave, but I will never let her go. I will miss her dearly. I will hold her closely and fiercely in my heart and honor her with all that she instilled in me. I will believe, along with her, that she and my grandpa's souls are intertwined once again and forever at rest together. As Pearl would always say, this too shall pass. She meant it in reference to hard and difficult things, but I would like to think that her desire to reunite with my grandpa, too, shall come to pass. I love you both.